Services Commission. We're going to deviate again just a little bit from the agenda. We have a special presentation to make this afternoon, and making this presentation will be Deputy Commissioner Jack Travelstead. Jack?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to ask Dr. Jones to come up. Many of us, particularly in the world of fisheries management, have known Dr. Jones for quite some time. I wouldn't say how long, but it's been quite a while. But we were quite ecstatic when Governor Warner made the decision to appoint her as an associate member of the Marine Resources Commission. And in doing that, I believe Dr. Jones is the first full-fledged fishery scientist to ever sit on the commission in its over 130-year history. And obviously we're very excited about that, particularly in these recent times when we deal with some very, very complicated fishery issues. And I think you'll agree that during Dr. Jones' tenure, she brought a lot of insight into a lot of those issues that we've had to deal with, particularly when we came to limiting entry in the fisheries. Now, we want to take a moment today on behalf of the commissioner and the commission to present this to you, Dr. Jones. Let me read it for the record. Commonwealth of Virginia Marine Resources Commission hereby recognizes Dr. Cynthia M. Jones. Be it known that on behalf of the members, employees, and friends of the commission, in recognition of your 4 years of loyal and dedicated service to the Virginia Marine Resources Commission, your good spirit and faithful support of the commission and its work were invaluable not only during the monthly meetings, but also in the daily activities that affected marine conservation and the environment. Your knowledge and scientific expertise of fisheries contributed greatly to the commission's work during your tenure. Foremost was your keen understanding that marine resources of the Commonwealth must be managed with wisdom and harvested in harmony so that they can be enjoyed in abundance by present and future generations. I am pleased to confer upon you this certificate of distinguished service given under my hand and the seal of the Marine Resources Commission this 19th day of December 2006 in the 231st year of the Commonwealth, signed Stephen G. Bowman, Commissioner.
Yes, Professor.
It's nice to be on this side. It's also nice to see that the commission is in such wonderful hands with such a good group of people to be able to protect and allow good use of the marine resources in Virginia. It was a real treasure to serve on the commission for the 4 years I did. It was wonderful to work with Mr. Pruitt. It's also great to see Mr. Colonel Bowman now taking over. And it was also wonderful to work with Chad Ballard, who has a special place in my heart and who brought to me a much deeper understanding of the public trust issues and the importance of public trust doctrine in maintaining Virginia's resources. So thank you very much for the privilege of having worked with you all. It was wonderful.
Well, Dr. Jones, thank you very much for your service to the Commonwealth. I tell you, I know I'm a much more learned and better prepared for the position here based on the time I spent with you and what I learned from you. You always had the best interest of science at heart, and you always conveyed that in a very easily understood manner, and I think the entire commission is better for that. And I wish you Godspeed and thank you for your service to the Commonwealth.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is item 8, public comments. This is the opportunity for those that would like to address the commission on matters that are not previously stated or posted on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to? Gentleman in the blue denim shirt to the right first. Come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you? State your name, please, for the record.
My name is Lemuel Hart.
You don't need to be sworn. Public comments. Mr. Hart, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. I guess there's nothing to say except where it's at. I've been an oysterman on the Eastern Shore of Virginia for 22 years. It's something that my brother and family can't understand, but traipsing through the mud, I love it just about more than anything, with seeing the scenery and the environment. Also, seeing oysters come back is one thing I really love. Back in the day, the season was a six-month season. And recently, or in the last few years, it's been knocked down to a three-month season. Now, last year, the season was 4 months. I think this is partly due to Katrina and the things that happened. They opened it October the 1st, and it ended January 31st. Well, this year, we were told it was going to go from October 1st until December 31st, which, if nothing changes, there's just a few more days to this season. I wanted to talk about how the oysters are coming back on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, and as far as I understand, a lot of other places also. This 3 months, and I want to ask, the reason I'm here is to ask the board to please consider a request for a season extension. Not really an extension. If it was open through January 31st, it would be the same as last year. It's only a three-month season. If you crab pot, if you clam, if you peeler pot, if you do any of these things, you buy a one-time license, $15, $16, $20, you go on your way. Shellfish, oysters now, you have to get your card, but of course you have to get tags printed up. You have to get your ropes with them. You have to get a shellfish certified course. You have to get books. You have to take courses. With shellfish, it has the shortest season around 3 months, and the cost of the licenses and the tags are $400 or $500. I mean, it's the season's three times shorter than other ones, and the expenses with your licenses are five times as much. The oysters are coming back. They do go in cycles. And I agree that, in my personal belief, I think that the VMRC has done well with managing possibly areas on the bay, the James, the Potomac. Trying to manage the seaside is like trying to manage the Rockies. The oysters grow in the marshes, in guts, on flats. You can't get them by boat, by dredge, by these means. You have to hand tong. You have to physically go there and get these things. That's why the rocks that they have planted on seaside, 95% of them have failed. Because if they're planted too deep, too high, it's not going to happen. It has to be within certain parameters. And the most amazing thing about seaside is that they've come back naturally. The rocks that they've tried have been planted, one or two have done good and the rest died. But on the flats, the guts, and the marshes, this natural resource has come back. And I know I've spoken with every buyer, every oysterman on the Eastern Shore from Chincoteague to Chittenden, and everybody just wants a normal season. Everybody just wants to work.
What makes this one an abnormal season? Is it something different?
A couple things. Number one, it's 3 months.
Okay.
I mean, my God, you're used to it being 6 months. It's been 6 months forever. Then the last few years, then it goes to 3 months. Okay. So that's the first thing. Second thing is the season is decided the 26th of December whether it's going to open up October the 1st. I mean, the oystermen have no time to get their stuff ready. They have no time to think about it. They're told 3 days before it's going to open whether it's going to open or not.
You mean open decided September 26th?
I open October 1st, if it was.
You said December 26th, open October 1st. Okay.
Excuse me, sir.
Just trying to get it straight.
Sorry, Mr. Robin.
That's okay. No problem.
But also, it's now, here's a meeting. This is just a few days before the season would close. So, oystermen, we have no study ground. We have no way of knowing what the season's going to be, when it's going to start, when it's going to end, like crab pot and peeler pot. Every other season, it's pretty well set. Here, oystermen, we got to find out 3 days before whether we're going to get to go to work.
Let me ask you this. When the meeting was held and the actual season was set,
yes, sir.
Were you here asking for an extension to the 31st of January?
No, sir. No, sir, I was not, because I was told that would be decided at this meeting.
At this meeting?
At this meeting.
Who told you that?
I believe either Jack Travelstead or Mr. Wesson, unless I got my information wrong.
I think
but they
we
may
do.
Have said it may be decided then, and maybe if you want an extension, you can come and ask.
That would be more likely than anything, because we publish what the seasons are, and I don't recall any conditional publication of additional seasons being determined. But having said that, I just want to know if you know.
Yes, sir. Well. As I said, it's just, like I say, everything's coming back. People just want to work. And it's, like I say, it's a very extremely short season. And it's 5-10 times the expense of any other thing out there.
Okay.
And all people want to do is just be able to work. I mean, the season last year was 4 months. And, I mean, that's a compromise. It was 6.
What kind of season have you had this year?
Very good.
So far.
Extremely good. And it's getting better every year, and they're coming back. And I have friends here also, not necessarily from the seaside, but from other areas that, you know, I think may talk about that as well. But, I mean, I don't think 4 months is a lot to ask. That's exactly what we had last year, October 1st to January 31st. That's only 4 months. As far as the season goes, that's not anything. But if this is something that you put your livelihood on, everyone is not able to have a big boat and 400 crab pots. Everyone doesn't have $15,000, $20,000 to put in their gear. And the state of Virginia, the shellfish industry is in utter ruins basically by talking to everybody. So by opening this thing up, you get more 53s, you get more money for Virginia, you make the workers happy by letting them work, everybody benefits. You know, I don't understand who benefits or who possibly could gain by closing this thing down. Unless it was in an area that the oysters were small and people were taking them illegally, or if it wasn't a means that you were just taking everything.
Well, that's my concern, if they're depleting them. That's the biggest problem I've got, a concern as a sitter's commissioner, is if they're depleting them.
Sure.
Everything that you've told me, I'm not out there, I'm not doing the sampling. I have to take what you're telling me as being accurate, because the only person that's going to be ultimately detrimental will be to you if you're depleting them. So
exactly.
Let me do this. You're asking for an extension.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Or it's an extension of what it's stated in this year, the same as last year.
All right.
The same as last year, because it's. I mean, it's that's just the bottom line. It also depends on where you are. Now, I realize that y'all's management and the BMRC's planning of certain things have done very well in the Bay and James and Potomac or different places.
Mm-hmm.
On the seaside Eastern Shore, like I say, you might as well manage the Rockies, because 95% of everything that's come back has come back naturally. And 95% of everything that's been planted has died.
Okay.
And it takes someone who knows what they're doing and sees this. Also, a native seaside oyster, the more you work that, the better it gets.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Hart? This is the first I've heard that this was going to come up today. What I would like to do is, and Dr. Wesson's been probably hit flat-footed with it as well, let's go on with the public comments, see if there's any other public comments, and then if it pleases the commission, we can think on this while we're listening to the other public comments. That'd be all right. Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Audience or public comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Harry L. Johnson, Jr.
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
I'm a retired employee for General Motors. I retired in 98. I've been a waterman ever since. And about the oysters, you know, last year it was 4 months, like you said, you know.
Same issue.
And I don't know a whole lot about oystering, but I see a big comeback in just a short time I've been, you know, harvesting.
Okay, you're asking for an extension as well, based on the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like I need a whole lot of money. It's just the point. It helps everybody else, too. So I'd like to voice my opinion so other people that are missing, you know, and unfortunate, you know, not have a job like I used to have, could help them out now.
I understand. Thank you, sir. Mr. Erskine. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you, man?
Good afternoon.
Good to have you here.
How are you? Thank
you. Fine, thank you.
Members of the commission. I'm going to make this brief, and I just want to actually more or less get it in the public record. I understand, AJ Erskine from Bevin's Oyster Company and Coward Seafood. I made a comment, if you recall, last month pertaining to the public hearing as to open the Potomac tributaries and the lower Rappahannock to oyster harvesting. And I understand in the industry that there was a little bit of misunderstanding as to whether or not Bevan's Oyster Company and Coward Seafood supported the opening of the Lower Rappahannock. My comments were pertaining strictly to the Potomac River tributaries and opening those public oyster grounds. As far as the Lower Rappahannock, we are less familiar with that area and did not make specific comments about opening that area. That's not to say that we were opposed to opening those grounds. And Lake Coward Jr. wanted me to also say for the public record that he was a member of the commission for 9 years. 6 of those 9 years, he opposed opening the Lower Rappahannock. In the last 2 or 3 years, he saw his way clear after the Virginia Oyster Heritage Program had examined the issue to possibly open the area. He said if he were on the commission now, he would have voted to open the area to limited harvesting. That's my public comment, and I just wanted it for the record.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you. I appreciate that. Any other public comments? Yes, sir. How are you today, sir?
Good, all right.
Good.
My name is Russell Gaskins, and I'm here to represent the Virginia Water Association and the Twin River Association. Last year, the season went through October, and this is in Rappahannock River now for dredging, from October the 1st to the last day of February. And this year, they've cut 2 months off it. I'd like to see extend it the next 2 months for the boys. We've got 13 boats working in Rappahannock right now. That's all we've got. And the boys need something to do. I mean, there's nothing else for the water to do. They've had a slow season in crabbing, you know that. And it's just been a slow year, and the boys just need something to work on. And they sent me down here to see if I could get the season extended.
Okay.
For them. And we'd appreciate if y'all did it.
Thank you, Ross.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
I have one.
Go ahead.
I get on part of the public. I'm just on the wrong side of the bench.
Okay.
Several years ago, before I was on the commission, I approached the commission about a problem on the eastern shore that law enforcement was starting to pursue a policy of if you had clam dredge license and crab dredge license, that you could still only have 250 clams on the boat, even if you did have clam license, which wouldn't entitle you anymore. Well, the commission directed Mr. Josephson to look into the matter and to come back with a suggestion at the next meeting. And he did so. And at that time, he said that he thought that any sympathetic judge would probably side with the watermen in a case-by-case basis because the two licenses were exclusive of each other. And you didn't have to possess one or the other. You could actually have both, and you would be entitled to whatever that license entitled an individual to. At that time, the commission agreed with Mr. Josephson's finding. And I don't know whether it wasn't changed in the regulation or inadvertently was changed back somewhere along the line. I spoke on this last year in March because that's when it really come up again. And Mr. Travelstead was going to look into it, and I'm sure that was very low priority because the season was over. But that's something that, again, is starting to come up. They're going to prosecute people with a clam license, and I'm sure they'll prevail in court, but there's really no need to go to court, especially when the commission's already made a decision. So I'd like to see us reaffirm that decision that you made before, so get some clarification to law enforcement. And if that's not the case, I would like to know why it's not the case after the commission voted on it and agreed with it.
I don't remember all the details. Let me do this first, Jack. Do you recall the situation?
I recall the discussion, but I don't recall the conclusion. I think it's probably something that will require
regulation change.
Regulatory change.
And if there's nothing wrong with that from a resource-oriented perspective, I'll leave it up to the commission to make that decision. But I like... as being former chief of law enforcement, things in black and white versus there's less discretion, especially when you're doing interpretive discretion. So, Carl, you got any? anything to add to that, please?
I remember the issue. I remember the conclusion, agreeing with Mr. Bowden. I don't remember the details of my analyses or what the commission did about it.
Well, I think staff will need to look into it and determine exactly what type of regulatory change is necessary to meet the problem. We can bring that back to you at the next meeting, and you can...
And then decide if we want to have a public hearing to address it. Is that satisfied?
Not really, because the decision was already made 4 years ago, but 3 years ago. The part I'm worried about, the season's already at hand. It's now. I mean, it's coming December the 1st. Law enforcement's already told individuals on the Eastern Shore that they're only going to be able to possess one or the other. I can go dredging and throw all my crabs overboard, and I'm legal. Or I can go dredging in the same area and throw all my clams overboard, and I'm legal.
What you're basically saying is if a person has both a clam
dredge
license
and a
crab dredge license,
see,
he should be able to take on all the crabs and all the clams.
Up to specified limits. You're only allowed 50 bushels of crabs or whatever. The original thing was... You would entitle a crab dredger to have the same amount of clams that an individual would for personal use, 250 sure. clams. And that's in the crab regulation. There's really nothing to contradict it in the clam regulation. It entitles you to dredge in certain areas with certain size dredge, has to be at least 4 foot of water. I mean, you know, it's specified in there what you can do to be legally clam dredging. So I can legally clam dredge and I can legally crab dredge, but you're saying we can't do them at the same time. So, you know, it's something I think that was inadvertently done. The commission, whether they actually voted that day or done it through consensus, I'm not positive. The fellow that was with me said that they voted. I thought it was consensus. So, and I feel like my memory is probably better than his. So I'm going with consensus. But at any rate, it was dropped after that. The ball was dropped, and that's been quite a while back. But it's a very important issue for a handful of people.
It sounds to me like we still need to amend the regulation to remove the reference to the 250 clam limit.
Well, can we do this? Can we ask for a public hearing at the next meeting?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, move things along, because you're already well into the season now, and
Then make a motion.
I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and direct staff to come back with a public hearing on their recommendations for people, individuals that have both clam and crab dredge license.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Bowden. Now, back to the issue at hand. Dr. Wesson?
Yes, sir.
You've heard a couple of requests made by...
They're two entirely different issues. For the first one, there's comfortable with extending the season for a month on Seaside because spat sets have been good this year, and this year has been unusual in there's been more high tides than normal. It seems like there hasn't been a lot of good low tides, and so I know they miss a lot of days, so I don't think it's a resource issue there that an extra month will not hurt them biologically. It is a problem for us in staff because we have a very bad the people turning in their 53s from Seaside are the worst anywhere. And so what we see is pretty much constant harvest around 500 to 1,000 bushels every year, and it doesn't look like it's a good year or a bad year because people just don't harvest. They don't report their harvest. If they report their harvest, it'd be helpful to us to think that we can extend seasons because we'd see that people are doing better or worse. But for this year, especially since the tides have been running unusually high, I don't think there'd be any problem at all to extend the season for that area. For the Rappahannock, it is different. We have worked on this small area for 3 months fairly hard, and we have a decent spat set that they're going to be able to use later on. We may have done damage to that spat set already in the amount of time it's been spent on it, and to just grind on it another 2 months to get a very small harvest out of it would will probably not be good for there next year and the year after that. We actually plan on going out this year in January and seeing, you know, what harvesting did for 3 months to the spats out that it looked pretty good this year to see, so we can gain information. But at this point, wouldn't recommend extending that area.
Any questions from members of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure I understand, Dr. Weston, in the seaside area, your indications are that we would not have any detrimental impact on the resource.
This, on seaside, it's entirely hand harvest.
Right.
You're picking things up. And, you know, we gauge how long we set our seasons over there by what we see the harvest has been in past years, as well as what we see on the ground. And we've had a hard time this year because the tides have been running high and getting our stock assessment done. So I know they've had a hard time harvesting.
So what you're saying, Jim, so I understand, excuse me, Rick, if I could, is that they may not have had 3 months.
Oh, they have not had 3 months, yes. Okay. That's for certain.
I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. Rick, do you have a follow-up?
No, as soon as you put it before the commission, I'll make a motion.
Mr. Tankard?
Jim, and also, did I hear you say that on the seaside, what you're also finding is that you really don't have a sense of what the harvest is? Because the reporting is...
We've been trying to get the word out more and more, and from talking to Mr. Hart, you know, he says he's doing a better job this year getting his 53s in, and he's become it's not fees that he pays to us, it's he's become a certified shellfish shipper so he can directly market, and he's invested in that. And, you know, the more they tell us that they're harvesting, the better it looks for them, for us to make decisions.
Mr. Bowden.
I'll make a comment.
Please, sir.
This year has been unusual. The harvest is up a lot around Chincoteague. I think it's a lot everywhere. Last year, MSX wiped things out. This year, we had a lot of rains in the spring and stuff, and the oysters seem to have made it through spawning, which is generally when they die. So, and far as the tide issue, you're 100% right. I think I did that when I put Arikansas in the water because I went like 4 weeks without seeing my cages and wondered if they're there after there and weighed them out. But, you know, I think it's what we ought to do. And basically all you're doing is giving them back what they lost for high tide. You're really not even increasing the season. You're just making up for lost days.
You know, I don't mind extending the season if those factors are what we're really considering. But to come here and for future notice, if you want a longer season and you're thinking about that, be here when the public hearing is going on, because when we set seasons then, we set them then. We don't condition just so we understood that. Further comment down from my right side. The matter's before the commission.
Mr. Chairman, based on the testimony we've heard from staff, I would move to approve an extension of the seaside season by to the end of January.
Second it.
Second by Mr. Motion made by Mr. Robbins to extend to January 31?
Yes.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Any further discussion? Mr. Josephson.
Now, is this an emergency regulation that we're talking about?
It would be, correct.
Yes.
So we would have to hear it again. Let's do this. When do we meet again, Jack? What's the next? The 23rd.
Make your emergency regulation
for a public hearing
effective January 1, and it can be effective for 30 days. So, which would take you to the 30th.
Well, except that
you meet again before that. So, if you want to extend it that one last day, you would have to hold a public hearing.
No, I don't think we want to do that.
We'll extend it to the 30th then.
Yeah.
I'll amend.
Can you accept the friendly amendment?
I'm agreeable to that.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins, second by Mr. Bowden. Council, we're clear now? No. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. There was another request pertaining to the Rappahannock River. The matter is before the commission for discussion or action.
Well, I'd just like to say one thing on the matter is that, last month we, didn't work out a compromise for additional areas for them to work. And, you know, I understand, you know, the SPATSAT problem. But, you know, also these guys do need something to work. You know, it's a long time before rockfish season starts for them. It's a long winter for them. And, you know, I know this panel's getting together to talk about, you know, what we can do, but, you know, that's not going to help them this year.
Okay. Mr. Bowden.
Well, I think you know my feelings on this thing. I think the appropriate thing was to open up some of the area below the bridge last time. We had people come to the public hearing then saying that we ought to start preserving some of the areas up from the bridge because the young oysters were getting grinded to death, and they will. You'll break the bills off of them, and they may not die now, but they'll die when the water warms up if the bills get broke. So, you know, I would gladly, if it was in my power, give them some areas below the bridge, but I guess that's probably out of the question. And for us to let them dredge into all their young spats and stuff, their future is what it amounts to, I think wouldn't be a very good idea.
Any further comment? Had you made a motion, Mr. Schick? I don't recall.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Any further comment? Hearing no further comment, no further motion. The next item on the agenda is public hearing, final consideration of emergency amendments to Regulation 4BAC 940 pertaining to sharks.
That's what you adopted, an emergency regulation at the request of staff to increase the daily trip limit on spiny dogfish to 4,000 pounds. That came about as a result of the Atlantic States Marine Fishery Commission increasing the state waters quota on spiny dogfish by some 2 million pounds. The emergency is about to run out. We need to make it, we need to continue it today. That would be our recommendation. That would to extend the trip limit through April 30th, 2007, or to the point in time when the quota runs out, at which point the fishery closes. Now, okay. Having said that, the National Marine Fisheries Service announced yesterday that the federal waters quota on spiny dogfish is projected to be caught tomorrow. So the fishery in federal waters beyond 3 miles will close tomorrow. Under federal law, if you are a federal spiny dogfish permit holder, when the federal waters close, you must stop fishing everywhere unless you give up your federal permit. And I just want to put that on the record publicly so that the fishermen can be aware of that. We did send out a notice yesterday to industry that the fishery in federal waters was going to close. I don't know how much longer the state waters fishery will be open. It certainly will not be open through April.
Okay.
So it's probably going to close relatively soon. But
all right. Thank you. This is a public...
I have a question for Jack.
Go ahead.
Jack, how much difference is it between the federal quota and what the state instituted?
It's 2 million pounds difference. The federal quota was 4 million. The state quota is 6 million.
For each semiannual part, or 6 million for the whole year?
Total.
Yeah. All right. So, total roughly a million quota. More. Thank you.
Any other questions for Jack? This is a public hearing. Anyone wish to be heard pro or con on the regulation pertaining to dogfish? There being none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for action.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 10, public hearing.